All right, dearly beloved, welcome to the show today. This is another special episode. It's always special when I get to bring a friend on. And this guest today will be no stranger to the majority of you, Tad Hargrave from Marketing for Hippies. Tad and I have been buddies for probably about 15 years. Mr. Hargrave, happy anniversary.
Well,
great to see you again. We're growing more beardly, which is a sign of wisdom, I think. And today we have a theme of the conversation, which is going to be around point of view marketing. Why is point of view marketing something that matters for you, for getting the word out about who you are, creating connection, relatability with your audience, and ultimately helping people to have the transformations that you're intending for them? So today we're going to be doing all that. Tad is also going to be mentioning an upcoming program that he has around point of view marketing. If this is like really lighting you up and making you feel like, yes, this is the next thing that I need to figure out so I can get all these building blocks in place to have the thing be what I'm intending it to be, aka your business, then this conversation is definitely going to light you up and you're going to get creatively inspired. So Tad, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, man.
Always a pleasure. So I think let's just start at the very top of the conversation. Where we should start is what is point of view marketing?
So point of view marketing is telling people why you do what you do the way you do it. But basically, it depends if you're a service provider or a product maker. So I'll talk service providers because I think that's probably most of the people listening. If you have a service, your fundamental job is to get people from island A to B. That's why they're coming to you. They have a problem they want solved, and they have a result that they're craving. And, you know, in marketing, there's these three steps in terms of filtering to see if something's a fit. One is relevant, second is credibility, third is value. And it has to be those three in that order every single time. So relevance is, you know, we often think about the niche like this. So somebody is working with divorced dads who just went through, you know, a brutal divorce and they're rebuilding their life. That's island A. Island B, they want to build a life that their kids would be proud of and be happy and healthy and strong again. So that's a pretty clear island A and B. It's a client of mine, Jeff, who's in my membership. I think his website is divorce-daddy.com. It's great, brand new. But that's just the relevance, right? You read that and you know that's you or not. There's no fuzziness of if you're a divorced daddy or if you aren't. But once the relevance has been established, and really pretty much immediately, the second after you establish relevance, the very next thing they're going to be curious about is, why should I trust you? Okay, you can help me with the thing, or you claim you can, but, you know, so it's the difference between, like, if you're a divorced daddy and you just went through a really hard time and then you meet somebody who says, well, I'm a life coach and I kind of help with everything. And then you meet somebody else and they say, I work with divorced fathers. You're obviously more drawn to that second person. But let's say you're at a party and you meet 10 people and they say, oh, they're all coaches for divorce. Well, now you're confused. Now it's like, who do I work with? And do you work with any of them? Are any of them trustworthy at all? Do any of them have a perspective on this that makes sense? So this is the next place people move. It's like, okay, so you say you can help me get from A to B. How? Right? You know, somebody comes to me and says, well, yeah, I'd like to market in a way that feels good and that still works. So your headline gets me, Tad, but how? What's your take on it? What's your approach? Like, why am I not already able to do this? What am I missing? What are my blind spots? These are the things people want to know. Like, do we have anything worth saying or anything worth listening to at all? And that has to be proven pretty quickly. You know, there's got to be something though where we can grab them and say, this is the thing, where they say, oh shit, that's it. And, you know, and then we move to the value. But people often say, try to just skip right to the value. And even if they figure out a niche, they leap right over the credibility. And most of the credibility comes from point of view. You can try to synthetically boost it up with a lot of testimonials or saying, trust me, I'm great. But the real thing, I think, comes from point of view. So that's fundamentally what it is, you know, and why it matters.
Okay, so I love that. That's a great definition. I think that's super clear for everybody now. Aside from having, say, we're selling a membership, we're selling an online program, or we're selling a coaching service, aside from the sales page, what other like methods of communication are available for delivering a point of view to an audience?
Yeah, the thing I'd put back is try to show me one method of communication that doesn't ultimately rely on, this is the ubiquitous thing. All of your social media, if you're on social media, will be basically point of view. If you write a book, that's your point of view. Certainly on a sales page, point of view is going to want to be there. You could also, I don't see a lot of people doing this, but some have a My Philosophy page. Have a, and just here's our core take on things where you lay out the basic tenets of your worldview. I see that more with product makers at times, and it's very compelling. It's a really great page to have on a website because they just get to get the gist, the meat of it. But probably the best place to put the point of view, and I think you'd agree, is in a signature workshop. You get in front of an audience and you just say, okay, obviously, if they're there at the signature workshop based on the title, the relevance is established, or you don't need to do much. But then here's my story. Here's why I'm somebody worth paying attention to here. Here's what I have, my experience on this. Number two, here's my point of view. This is my take on this issue, core fundamental 30,000 foot view, overall mapping of it. Here's, a little taste. Give you an experience of what this point of view can do for you, and then here's what I've got. But most of the signature workshop is going to be your point of view. Even as you're sharing your story, the point of view is coming out. As you're giving them the breakthrough experience in part three, the point of view is coming out. In your emails that you send out, of course, it's just nothing but point of, it's it, if you're being interviewed, it's your point of view. So this is one of these things where if you have your point of view really well thought out, it just gives you this endless fountain of content. Plus, if you then combine it with stories, here's something that happened to me today that illustrates my point of view. Here was a session I had with the clients. It's literally, I mean, it's just, you would have to work very hard to hit the bottom of that well. And so you'll have all this content. But if you don't have a consistent, it's a confusing message for people. You're saying this over here, that over there. And it's really helpful for people if they can just hear a, oh, it's the same thing everywhere I go. And it makes sense. I'm hearing it in different ways. Because then people are, at the end of it, once they get it or get it enough, they're going to say, I like it or I don't. It resonates or it doesn't. And there you go.
That's great. So we have just doing my flagship training right now with a group of creators, and we did our marketing strategy last week of like, how do you fill up your flagship training in 30 days? And so the formula that we did is around point of view marketing. And so we created a 30-day email campaign where on 30 days before their training starts, they send out their launch email. The day before it launches, they send out their two last chance to join emails. And then throughout the process of their 30 days in between there, they're sending out six different content pieces. And that's exactly what they're doing, is they are sharing their point of view. So just real quick here, here's 17 different content ideas that you could go with to share your point of view: personal stories, downloadable PDF or template, client stories or case studies, videos for YouTube or podcasts, articles, guest interviews, or being interviewed by somebody else just like this right now, tips, tricks, or hacks that you might have, or the how I learned to fill in the blanks, your signature workshop, which for me last year, that grew my email list significantly by thousands of people by doing one single workshop again and again on different virtual stages. Rants, like doing a rant on something that you feel extremely passionate about, is a great way to share your point of view. The three or seven steps to XYZ, the untold story of, I did one recently, untold story of how I almost died meditating, and it was very popular, surprisingly. Fictional stories, guided audios, live coaching or Q&A sessions, and something I've been experimenting with, which is really connecting me with my email list, is doing free coaching on Fridays, offering six free coaching sessions for 15 minutes. So those are just a few in case you're like, I don't know, I feel so lost on like, where do I get my ideas from? It's like there's 17 different types of content that you could create to share your point of view to help fill up your programs easier. With that, Tad, is there a best order to work through when trying to share your point of view?
Yeah, the easiest thing, this is this it's deceptively simple as an exercise. It's this idea of your message. So the message is like the distillation, one sentence version of your point of view. And most people actually already have something like this, just right on the tip of their tongue, in the back of their mind. And the example I give to draw it out is this. Imagine you're out with a friend and it's late, it's 2 or 3 a.m. 3 a.m. Maybe you've had a few drinks, but you're tired anyways. All the big words are sort of gone. And then your friend who is struggling with the very thing you help people with, they look at you and they get this look, and you can tell they're going to ask you something serious. And they say, hey, just before we go, can I ask you? And remember, they're struggling with the exact problem you help people with. And they just say, why am I so fucked up? Like, why can't I get over this? Why is this so hard? Where am I stuck? What do you see? And the cab is coming, and they've got to go because they got a flight to catch. And because you're friends, they really don't want to work with you as a coach. But it's a rare moment that they never ask you because you're friends. But now they're asking you, and you can tell they really want to hear the full truth. 10 out of 10 clarity right between the eyes, And you get one sentence before they go, and you just grab their hands, you look at them, and you say, here's what's up. Boom. So what's the one sentence you would say to somebody you love madly who is not going to work with you that would be the seed that they could take that would make the biggest difference? Why are they so screwed up? Why are they having such a hard time? What's the blind spot? What's the thing they don't see that's keeping them on island A? And it's amazing. I'll do this exercise in webinars or on calls, and I'll just say, put it in the chat, and the stuff that comes is so beautiful and so clear. So if you can start with that, that becomes the seed. That you could write a whole book based on that one thought, that one statement, that one idea. You could say that 20 different ways on social media. That could be the theme of your, or the main point of your signature talk. Is you just make the case for that over and over again in all these different ways. So that's the easiest way. That's the kind of DIY roll with that. Just start sharing that idea. Do a reel, as you say, where it's like, hey, I just had this thought and I wanted to share it with you. You'd be amazed the response those things can get, because usually these statements that we would say, they're coming from such a place of experience and truth. And when you say it, even if it's confronting to people, they relax because they can feel the truth of it. There's heft to it. I guess once you've got that, then we can break it down a bit more specifically into what I call the three cases. And because that statement is usually fairly heavy on the first case, there's three cases. And the first, so it's diagnosis, prognosis, prescription. Those are the three cases. And the diagnosis is they're wondering what's up, what's happening underneath the hood. My car is making this funny noise, but while I was driving my friend Cody's Jeep, and all of a sudden I heard this pop and then tink 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 tink. I thought, that doesn't sound healthy at all. And then I turned the corner and there was this grinding sound. I parked and called Cody and said, you may want to call your mechanic. And I had no idea what was going on. And then I showed him with my video under the car, and he said, oh, the exhaust pipe fell. But then it turned out, when the mechanic looked at him, he messaged me, he said, oh, it turned out it was the drive shaft, right? But I would have no way of knowing that. So that's what people are wondering about. Most of us just desperately want a diagnosis. We want some context around where's the sticking point for us. That's the very first case that we need to make, is here's why you're stuck, because of this. The second case, yeah, so that answers the question, just what's happened. Then the second case is the prognosis, because we can go wrong on the prognosis in two directions. In one direction, because the prognosis answers the question, what's likely? And in one direction, there's the kind of fear point of like, if you don't buy this, if you don't solve this problem, you'll end up, on the streets and broke, and nobody will love you ever again. And there's all the sort of worst case scenario prognosticating that people do. And it's rarely true. It's rarely that bad. And then on the other side, there it'll be totally okay. It's going to be amazing. You're going to double your income, and these exaggerated promises, which are almost always never true either. So what most people are wanting is just some realistic assessment. So it's like, you go to a doctor, they say, okay, here's the diagnosis, prognosis. Based on what I'm seeing, you may want to get a second opinion on this, but I would say here's the range of what's available to you at this point. Now, of course, a different doctor might have a different sense, but I think we're just craving some sense of what is realistic to expect. Like, I have chronic pain. Okay, if I do this program for 3 months, what's the best I can hope for? So in the prognosis, we're giving people the best case and worst case scenario, but being as realistic as possible. Like, look, if you don't handle the chronic pain in the next 3 months or next few years, it might get this bad, but you're not going to shatter. You're not going to, it's not going to kill you. It's just be uncomfortable and still more painful. It'll probably get a little bit worse, but not so bad. And then on the positive side, you can probably get 60% relief at the end of this 3 months if you really do all the work. That's just a realistic assessment. That's also a point of view piece. And then the third piece is the prescription. And the prescription is what's needed. Okay, what do I need? I know what's happening. I know what's likely. So what's needed? What are the steps? And that's a case that also needs to be made. And what I found is, if we're in, with point of view marketing, we're never making the case for, we're not really for people to buy from us. We're making the case for an approach, because if they don't buy the point of view, they're not going to buy your program, or you're more likely to get refund requests from them, or they'll be difficult. And if they don't buy the concept, they're not going to buy the course. They have to, the central premise under it, they've got to really buy that, and be on board with it. So, we make the case for those three things. And again, you can do a lot of this on your own. You just sit down and think, okay, I do have a niche. I've got a focus. I help people with this issue. In my experience, what is this usually actually about? What's going on underneath the surface? It's almost always a lack of exercise or too much exercise or whatever it is. Right. What's likely? What have I found is possible for people? Okay, these things, so I can tell them that. And then what's most needed? You have a sense of what's most needed, the steps, the elements, the ingredients that people really need to get from A to B to do the job. Once you've got those three cases in, then it's good to, one of the things that can help make the case is to draw some maps. So the very simple versions of these, we've all seen Venn diagrams, pyramids, the levels of things. But there's all sorts of creative ways. I mean, you, when you had the Great eCourse Adventure, you had a whole map, literally a map of the. So people just want to be able to see, where am I? What are the other elements? And it's helpful to have a visual or two or three. It's helpful for people to be able to just look at it as you're talking. They sort of stare at it and they can start to place themselves and see what's missing for them. So I really encourage drawing maps. And there's a, I've just seen the most amazing creative maps. A woman who, Jan Blake, who's a storyteller, her map was just a storyteller's body. And she said, yeah, you've got these two arms. One is to embrace and love everybody in the audience. The other one is to embrace and love everybody in the story. You've got two legs, one to be in the story and one to be with your audience. You've got your hips because you've got to swivel and react to what's happening. And you've got your tongue because that's your voice, and you're giving voice to all the people in the story. And you've got your heart because, and she had all the body parts accounted for. So you can do a whole training based on that map. Like,
Love
okay,
that.
today we're going to look at the arms and we're going to work with this, So drawing out maps is very helpful. And then once you've done that, I like the idea of doing what it's what I call the compass. It's kind of like, what are your orienting ideas, the true north ideas, the core principles of your offerings? And the very simple exercise for this is you sit down and you just say, okay, in terms of getting from island A to island B, here's what I believe. And just start writing, just free write. And until you just don't have anything else to say. And when you're done, organize it, edit it, put everything, together in it, and then put it in a sequence that makes the most sense. Like, what's the biggest idea? What's the most primary, fundamental idea that if they don't dig this idea, the rest of them don't make sense? Start with that. And just there's a kind of loose order, a logical Socratic build to these ideas generally. And that is so clarifying for people because if, as you're talking, walking through the ideas, they're thinking, this is bullshit. No, they're out. They're not going to be interested. But if you can make the case for the ideas, so if you can say, look, here's why you're struggling. Here's the prognosis. And here's what I think is needed. In fact, let me show you a map of the things that I think are needed. And here's what I believe about each of these things. And here's my core premises of this work. It's amazing how people suddenly, who walked in thinking, there's no way I'm signing up. There's no way I'm spending money on this, are sitting there finally, they're like, that could work. That makes sense. And this is the thing. They're coming in with the emotion. You don't need to stick the knife in and twist it around. The emotion is handled if you've got your niche dealt with. But what people desperately need is some logic, something to hang their hat on of, could this work? Is this reasonable? Like, is there a path to success with this? And then there's the art of making the case. And there's just a number of tools. And some of the what you actually shared in your that slide, like the stories and case studies, that's a way you can make your case. The maps and charts, these are a way you can make your case. But there's some thinking you've got to go through around, okay, I figured out what the case is. But like you help people with the signature workshop, okay, how do you construct the thing in a way that it's kind of the grease slide? It's easy, it's the most compelling and credible it can be. There's just construction, taking all those parts and putting them together. And then as a bonus level, the last thing that I recommend is there's, I call this the five levels of your point of view. And this gives you this overwhelming amount of beautiful content. Because everything I just said, I mostly have been talking about at the individual level. They're coming to you on Island A struggling. They want to be on Island B personally. What's stopping them personally in their life and their choices? What are their personal blind spots? Yeah. But there's four other levels you can go to. I'll just quickly name them. Second is the interpersonal. We are social creatures. We're a product of our families and communities more than we'd like to admit. We are shaped by the norms that, of the places we live in. And so it's good to think about, okay, so your people are on Island A. I mean, yes, what are their blind spots personally? What are they doing that keeps them on the island? But also, what's happening in their community and families that is influencing that, that they may not even be aware of? Like, did you notice that every time you say something like this in one of your meetings at work, everyone looks away? Or when you wear that kind of clothing, everybody treats you this? Or did you notice that? Like, and deep down, we're noticing it, but consciously, we may not be. So you can actually bring these things to people's awareness. Third level is the institutional level. So this gets, there's institutional racism and all these things, but there are certain structures in our society that shape the way we do things. And so, for example, the reason when I came to your house on Salt Spring, we had dinner, we were sitting at the table, yeah, on chairs. The reason we were sitting and on eating plates with knives and forks, why were we doing that? Because that's what was there. If we were at an Ethiopian restaurant, right, we'd just be eating with our hands. If we're at certain Japanese restaurants, we'd be sitting on the floor because the infrastructure is different. So why do we have back pain? Well, you're not moving enough, you're not walking enough, you're not stretching. That's the one level. The interpersonal level might be you're also not getting enough emotional support in your life. You're being stretched too thin and you don't have time for the self-care. That's the interpersonal level. The institutional level might be, yeah, you have an office job. And everything in our society has actually been built that you're sedentary. You sit in your car and you drive, you sit at your office. And then there's the intergenerational level. Like, what's been happening over the last few hundred years that has arrived at a place where so many people have this symptom? Not just this one client, but lots of people. What's going on in the greater arc of history that's landed us here? And then fifth, what's the infinite, the intergalactic? Like, what's the biggest? What's really going on here? Like, why back pain? Why do we have physical pain at all? What are our bodies for? You can start to talk about those things. And those additional four levels are so compelling for people. So those are the steps I'd probably go through. You start just with the seed of a message. What's my core take on this? You delve it into deeper case making. You get the tools for the case making. You construct the case. And then if you want to go much deeper, you take it 5 levels deeper. And suddenly your content goes from, oh, everyone else says the same thing, to this really unique thing. And then if you combine that with stories, if you can combine your point of view with stories, it's suddenly it's it's just very compelling.
I love that. So if people go deep down the rabbit hole and really discover, own, flesh out their point of view, what can they expect for their business, their ability to find the right types of clients? Like, what is kind of the outcome of doing this deeper work around point of view?
Basically endless content for whatever your YouTube, your Instagram, your email list, writing books. It's just the ideas will keep coming. Two, the biggest thing though, there's that, I suppose your own ideas get clearer. If you're interviewed, you don't stumble as much, you're more lucid. But the biggest payoff for me is you stop feeling nervous about sharing your business. Because you are no longer trying to make the case in everything you do for people to buy from you. You're making the case for your perspective. And it's a whole different feeling. Like if I were to, I say this sometimes at workshops, I say, imagine if I were to say, I'm going to give everyone 1 minute at the front of the room, and your job is to convince us to buy from you. And you can just see everyone is like, oh God, no. And I say, isn't this funny? It's a marketing workshop. I'm giving you a chance to market yourself. And nobody, A, nobody wants to do it. And B, nobody wants to hear it. None of us want to sit through that. I said, but what if I said, what is the most compelling idea you have? Like this core message, what would you say to your friend at the bar at 2 a.m.? And I want to give you a minute to tell us what that sentence is and why, how you came to it, why this idea matters. Make the case for that idea. We all want to hear it. That's interesting. And then, because people think in sales that the pitch is where it all happens. But it's not, it doesn't happen to the pitch. That's not where the credibility is built. People don't make the decision to buy based on how smooth your pitch is. They do it based on how clear and compelling your point of view is. That's when they decide, I want to work with this person. And then your pitch is basically just like, if you like this, then here's where you get help with that. Here's, and so I'm not saying design shitty offers, don't think through the construction of it, all that too. I'm just saying it's like that's the tip of the pyramid. Well, that's part of the very tip of the pyramid is, I don't know, how smooth are you in your sharing it, I guess, or that you don't completely stumble over your words or faint out of anxiety. There's the tip, is the moment you share it with people. But below that is that you've constructed a good offer. But overwhelmingly below that, it's your point of view. And so then when you get up in front of people, there's not the anxiety of, oh, I'm trying to sell people and now I feel duplicitous and ashamed. You're getting up just saying, look, whether, and I would just say for everyone to underline this statement, whether or not you work with me, this is the approach I recommend. You're just trying to help the people there. Like, look, you work with me, you don't work with me, I don't care. Here's what I recommend.
Beautiful. And you have a program coming up here. I'm seeing my battery's gonna die, so we're gonna wrap it up soon. But you have a program around point of view marketing for folks who are like nodding your head and like, yes, I need this. Yes, I would be willing to go down this rabbit hole to figure what this what out what my point of view is and help flesh out what stories are waiting to be told to help solidify your point of view. Can you share a little bit about the point of view program that's coming up on April 12th?
Yes. So, or is it April 12th?
Is
Yes,
it
or
I think
April
it's
9th.
April 9th. Sorry about that.
April 9th kicks off. We have our semester, our point of view semester. It's 3 months. We dig into point of view really deep. Every 2 weeks, there's a different call going through basically those steps I laid out of what the what's needed to hone your point of view. You get a lot of chance for feedback from other participants and myself. Just really working on honing it. It's my favorite semester of the year. I've got 4 semesters, and this one is absolutely my favorite. So that's coming up. It's at marketingforhippies.com/POV-program. You can get all the info. If you have any questions, just email us, admin@marketingforhippies.com.
I'll be sharing the links as well for everybody to check out. I mean, I've been in the game. This is my 20th year of doing my thing on the internet. And I can honestly say it's taken me almost that long to get myself to the point where I feel like I have some very clear point of views around like what I am about, what our work is about, what work we support others to do. It's taken a really long time. And so for those of you that are earlier on and you're figuring it out and you can feel you're working hard at it, doing a 3-month deep dive around your point of view will be life-changing over the long arc of your journey. It'll be one of those decisions that you make that you look back on in years from now and be like, thank God I figured the point of view out early on so that the rest of my work and all the things that I created to offer the world were based on that point of view and reflected that point of view with clarity. Because it's such an important thing. You do it so well, Tad. I mean, your YouTube channel is just gushing with point of view with all the videos that you post. And I think this is a worthwhile investment in everybody's future to go do this program.
Well, bless you. Bless you, brother.
Yeah. Thank you for this conversation. I love chatting with you. I think we're going to be doing this every few months. We'll be having an interview around different topics. So I'm excited to be doing that. I'm excited for some of the conversations we're having behind the curtain around some things we're going to collaborate on later this week, this year as well.
Yeah, me too. Me too. All right, take care, everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Tad. See y'all later.